content of this program is intended for a blind and print impaired audience. Hello, this is Nicole Hunter from the Triangle Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine, July and August 2018 edition. So first things first, what we're going to cover is Under Money and Power, I Did It My Way. This particular article is titled, Brewing Up a Business. From biotech to beer making, how this former executive found her calling behind the bar. When many of us think of brewing, the first image that comes to mind is a beer dude, says Beverly Armstrong. However, this perception is changing, and she's very much a part of the reason why. A biotech executive for 15 years, Armstrong came to brewing her own beer by chance. An avid rugby player, she had grown used to the custom of having a drink with her teammates and opponents after each game, even if they were competing abroad. Whenever those get-togethers were here in the U.S., she realized how difficult it was to find the kind of beer she liked, a cold one that had quality, organic ingredients, was easy to drink, and was not too hot in alcohol content. I essentially wanted to make a beer that I couldn't find on the market, she says. So she did. In 2015, after years of studying the industry, even taking classes at a brewing institute in Chicago, she quit her job and launched her own Boston-based brewing company, Brazo Forte, which means Armstrong in Spanish. It's an impressive feature. She's the first woman to own a brewery in Massachusetts and one of the few blacks to do so in the entire United States. Here she tells us how she did it. Essence's question to her is, moving from working in biotech to producing beer is a big leap. What factors drove you to do it? And her response is, in 2005, I purchased a beer making kit and started brewing beer for me and my rugby teammates to enjoy as a post-game ritual. I began making my own session beers, ones that are full flavored but low to moderate in alcohol so that you can enjoy them over a long session. Everyone else in the industry was crafting high alcohol, high bitterness beers with as much hops as possible. But I found that people wanted to enjoy an approachable, easy drinking beverage that was low in alcohol. I soon became obsessed with learning as much as I could about beer, and I eventually became a certified Ciron, which is the equivalent of a wine sommelier. When did you realize this could be more than a hobby? Her response is, it was another 10 years before I quit my job. I love biotech. I love the mission of curing people. But as the craft beer industry took off, I knew I could fill a gap in the market. When I had my launch event and we went through 7 kegs in one night, I was pretty sure it was going to be a thing. Brewing is usually a male-dominated industry. How has that been for you? The first national beer conference I went to had 9,000 attendees, and I could count the number of African Americans and women on my hands, and typically, I was the only African American woman in the room. I also sell my product at various beer festivals, and frequently I'll talk with someone at the festival for a good amount of time, and they'll say, so where's the brewer? And I'll say, I'm the brewer. There is often a moment of confusion and surprise that's followed by, oh, that's great, because I really love it. So it's more of a revelation for them. What's next for you? I participate in a program called Brewing the American Dream, which is sponsored by Samuel Adams and supports up-and-coming food and beverage entrepreneurs. Through this program, I was able to apply for the brewing and business experience ships for which only one brewer is selected each year, and I won the 2017 honor. It involves training, mentoring, and ultimately collaborating on a special beer with Samuel Adams. We're working on recipes now. We want to make sure it's something that is high quality and undeniably delicious. So moving on to another article titled Happy Talk. The pursuit of happiness begins with one small step. Here, women from ages 23 to 50 plus reveal the simple acts that have brought them tremendous joy. Put the news on pause. I used to wake up in the morning and immediately check Twitter and Facebook. An hour later, I'd still be in the bed. I started noticing that I was sad and not motivated to go to work and get things done, which was strange because I love my job. So I stopped checking my phone and computer first thing in the morning. I didn't even realize my social media feeds were having such an effect on me until I cut them out. After a few weeks of just waking up and reading a book or listening to a podcast, I felt lighter and more energized. And this is from Jolie A. Doggett, age 27, from Hampton, Virginia. Count your blessings. For the past year, I've stopped comparing my life to others, and it has changed my outlook and brought me joy. I realized I overlooked my own progress because it wasn't as good as someone else's. I started waking up earlier and took time to write down three things I'm grateful for each day. After a few weeks, I began getting excited to go to sleep so I could wake up and count my blessings. Malika T. Holloway, age 28, from Atlanta. Quiet down. Quote, I participated in what I deemed my year of silence. I was still speaking, but I really dedicated time to learning the art of listening. It helped center me and definitely ease the stress and anxiety I was experiencing because I was able to respond to people instead of just reacting. Learning to reel it in was difficult for me at first, but eventually I found comfort in not having the self-assumed burden of carrying the conversation all the time. I also learned to check in with myself, end quote. Virginia Lohman, age 28, from New York City. Learn something new. Quote, I decided to pick up a new instrument. I wanted to play the bass for years. I turned 23 and felt I wasn't doing enough with my time. It was giving me anxiety. I just needed to break the cycle of repetition. Learning something new makes time seem as if it's passing more slowly. Once I started, I felt better immediately. I can now see, feel and hear my progress, and that makes me happy. End quote. Marissa Lewis, age 23, from Harlem, New York. Open up. Quote, although I'm passionate about my career and moving up the corporate ladder, I know I need to find happiness outside of work. Deciding to attend weekly therapy sessions and opening up about traumatic events in my life helped me progress. It's made me feel lighter. I'm more transparent with myself and other people about my boundaries and limits. End quote. Dominique Fluker, age 26, from Oakland. Lay low. Quote, a few years ago, I decided to go off the grid every Sunday. I felt that I needed one day to myself. It started with me just turning my phone off in worship. It gives me a day to look forward to each week, and I feel great every Sunday because I sleep, eat, mask my hair, feet, and face, do my laundry, and lie in bed. This recharges and prepares me for the crazy week ahead. End quote. Aisha Elliott, age 36, from Irvington, New Jersey. Leave work at work. Quote, I've been intentional about not bringing my work home on the weekends and scheduling meetings where I am less likely to miss time with my kids. For those times when bringing work home is unavoidable, I wait until they go to sleep, even if that means I stay up later. I know that their school parties are usually on Thursdays and Fridays, so I make sure my office hours are on other days of the week so that I can step away for a few minutes to be with them. them. The moments with my kids are irreplaceable. Seeing their joy lets me know that I am doing something right. End quote. Nandy Marshall, age 36, from Statesboro, Georgia. Say a little prayer. Quote, in the past, I found myself struggling to stay afloat and keep myself focused on goals I wasn't able to clearly articulate. I made it a point this year to be intentional in praying for exactly what I wanted. I began writing specific prayer requests on slips of paper with the date. I revisit my prayer jar on occasion, and if my blessing has manifest, I write in the date it happened and remove it from the jar and place it on my vision board. This is a visual and tangible reminder that my peace is being protected and my steps are being ordered. End quote. Charisse Chantel Clark Wilson, age 34, from Atlanta. Splurge a little. Quote, after my divorce, my therapist asked what was something I was doing to bring myself personal joy. I sat for a few minutes in silence because I could not think of one thing I did that was just for me that I absolutely loved. I absolutely loved. My assignment that week was to find something I could implement as part of my self-care plan. I love aromatherapy massages. They make me forget everything for that 1 hour and nothing matters but me feeling good. I went to a local spa and purchased a monthly package. End quote. Melissa Nicole Gaylord, age 38, from Colorado Springs. Relive your childhood. Quote, I remembered all the things I enjoyed doing as a kid and began adding them to my life. I used to train in martial arts when I was younger. So I started again. This time I took my three children with me to class, and this became a way to bond with my family. End quote. Cam Ridley, age 37, from Jackson, Mississippi. Meditate. Quote, after attending a spiritual retreat in Sedona, Arizona, a little more than a year ago, I began a meditation practice that I fell in love with. End quote. Leslie Gordon, age 49, Los Angeles, California. Run. Quote, I started running through 3 years ago and committed myself to the sport. I joined several running clubs and signed up for the marathons. Running has changed my life. I began running to lose weight and to snap out of what I know or now know was depression. This was something I could focus on, and it gave me a great deal of clarity. I lost 30 pounds the first year. I'm more confident, and I found a sport that I adore. I started to love myself again because of running, and I became more focused in my personal life and at work. It brought me joy. Although it was extremely challenging, it showed me that I was strong and I could overcome anything. End quote. Ptolemy Austin, age 45, from Los Angeles, California. Say yes to you. Quote, having a self-imposed obligation to people was inhibiting. I was so disgruntled doing things I didn't have to do. I started to have a conscious effort to think before committing to things. I stopped using the word should. Letting go of that allowed me to be more spontaneous actions and gave me space to say yes to what I wanted. I am more optimistic with more energy. End quote. Talisha Shine, age 46, Woodbridge, Virginia. Tune out toxic friends. Quote, I kicked, I kicked blank people out of my life. Years ago, I had a higher tolerance for others' drama. Long stories about things that don't matter. Petty arguments, bad behavior. After I turned 40, my patience is listening to any of that ran out. As life became more complex with navigating my career, a different home, and another relationship, I didn't want others' drama to eat up my space in my already packed life. Getting people out of your life can be simple. Stop making contact. I absolutely adore the people I've kept in my life. End quote. Tawana A. Hines, age 43, Silver Spring, Maryland. Get smarter. Quote, I decided to leave my full-time job of 17 years at a prime point in my career and go back to school. The first 2 weeks after leaving my job made me realize how stressed I had been. I'd had trouble sleeping, thinking I missed doing payroll or making a conference call. My staff wasn't calling my phone. I just needed to breathe. I used the weekends to relax. I worked in my yard, made myself dinner, and went to meet a friend for a drink. It was like I finally exhaled. I enjoyed returning to school and getting excited about the new challenge. Now I love being able to spend holidays with family and friends. End quote. Erica Nixon, age 42, from Richmond, Virginia. And these are some good quotes. I'm taking note of these myself. On to the next one. Affirm the good. Quote, I have made a conscious effort to live in gratitude for what I have instead of dwelling on what I don't. I made the change because I was tired of yearning for what was not. It made me unhappy. I write down 5 things a day that I am grateful for, and I start my mornings with affirmations. Throughout the day, if I am getting a feeling of lack, ingratitude, or disappointment, I refer to my affirmations. I always feel better after I do. End quote. Angelique Miles, age 52, from Harlem, New York. Take a spiritual retreat. Quote, my life was complete with a great job, a healthy lifestyle, and family. But something was still missing. I wondered why I wasn't the happiest woman on the earth. Why wasn't my relationship with my children as strong as I had hoped? I stopped life and went on a retreat to get direction, reflect on what's important, and learn how to live by prioritizing and being present at all times. I pledge to embrace my power and be grateful for all the gifts God has bestowed upon me. I now live in confidence that I am where I am supposed to be, doing exactly what I am supposed to be doing. End quote. Celeste Wright Harris, age 56, from Chicago, Illinois. Stick with your sisters. Quote, one of the things that makes me happy is family and spending time with my sisters. There are 6 of us. We take a trip together every year, and we even have a family prayer line where we all get on the line and pray together. It's something our mom fostered when we were kids. The family that prays together stays together. End quote. Lucille Schoon, age 66, from Maplewood, New Jersey. Hug someone. Quote, finding your joy can be as simple as giving and receiving a hug. Life can present many challenges, and often the biggest rewards are found in the moments when we make a difference in someone else's life. I changed how I approach the foster children and teens I work with. Instead of asking them questions, the first thing I do to help them feel better is ask them if it's okay for me to hug them. The hugs give me permission to help them feel safe and know that for right now, everything will be okay. I live this joy every day. End quote. Paulette Cruz Buchanan, age 70, from Las Vegas, Nevada. Start your day with spirit. Quote, every morning when I wake up, I take the first 15 to 30 minutes to worship. It's not necessarily a religious worship because I consider myself more of a spiritual person. I just take time to think about what I'm grateful for. I think about my blessings, my family. I enjoy reading and saying affirmations too. I have to take a vitamin of happy thoughts to start my day. End quote. Valerie Papaya Mann, age 65, from Washington, D.C. and Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Plan to unplug. Quote, I plan my day the night before I look at my calendar and I actually unplug. My cell phone usually goes off by 8 every night, and I mean off. Also, I might check my emails, but I don't usually respond to people on Sundays. You start writing people on Sunday, then they start writing you back. You teach people how to treat you. End quote. Marsha Haygood, she's in her 60s, and she's from Sarasota, Florida, and Yonkers, New York. Celebrate your fabulousness. Quote, after going through the very emotional ending of a 15-year relationship, I knew I needed a change. My heart just wasn't in designing flowers for weddings any longer. I needed to do something that would focus on a positive change for me and make me feel good. I wanted to inspire other women. I've always loved fashion. When I was in my 20s, I wanted to model. So I started a fashion and lifestyle blog. It's called medleystyle.com for stylish women over 50. Being able to do something for myself and inspire others in the process is an awesome feeling. End quote. Janie Medley, age 58, from Richmond, Virginia. It looks like that's the end of those quotes, but those were really good. Some things that I am going to take note of going forward. So on to the next article. Let's see, because we're winding down and coming together. Growing up, the talented Smollett clan lived all over the country. But when they're eating their mother's New Orleans style cooking, it makes them feel most at home. So whenever the Smolletts get together, the laughs come easily. The love is apparent and the food laud. The food is abundant. For TV writer, producer, Jazz Smollett, Warwell, actor, musician, Jesse, actor, activist Journey Smollett Bell, and chef TV personality Jake. An obsession with cooking is a family trait, which becomes obvious when they sit down to discuss their first kitchen creations. Quote, the first thing I ever remember making was marinara sauce for lasagna, says Jake. I was 6. I started cooking when I was 7, and the first thing I remember cooking on my own was scrambled eggs, notes Jazz. Okay, that doesn't sound like much, but by that Thanksgiving, I was doing the turkey. Mom started me with baking, so my first dish was the biscuits. Jesse chimes in, biscuits and cornbread. I was maybe 6 years old. Mine was random, offers Journey. Cornish hens, which I've been making since I was 7 years old. Back then, they were a little bland. They were not bland. They were delicious. I loved those. It was like Cuban style, says Jake. They were on the simple side, I will say. Now you know they've gone through an evolution to their current state, and I'm very proud of my Cornish hens, Journey says. They're like my go-to when I want to cook something to show off. The Smollets have brought their food, or their love of food and family, together in their cookbook. And the cookbook is titled The Family Table, Recipes and Moments from a Nomadic Life, and it's priced at $29.99. From then to now, it all started when they were kids and dinner time meant gathering around the table. Their mother, Janet Smollett, literally made by hand, Mom would build our dining room table from scratch. It was where everything happened, says Jazz. And the thing about us is food is always the center of our celebrations, the center of our life, so much so that every time the family moved, they crisscrossed the country 13 times by car. The table was too big to take with them, so their mother would just build a new one in the next location. With such a large family, including brothers JoJo and Jockey, so often on the move, they had their own way of doing things. They formed a cohesive unit. We joked that we were our own small nation, says Journey. We dressed the same way. Our hair all looks the same way. We talk the same way. Money was tight, too. Store-bought treats were rare, and meals out were even rarer. it was easier to just make a big pot of lentils or a one-pot meal, says Journey. We rarely ate out. I mean, you'd better have been celebrating something real good to take six kids to eat at a restaurant. Janet took pride in her home-cooked and flavorful creations, which drew on cultures and food traditions ranging from her Texas and New Orleans upbringing to her husband, Joel Smollett's Eastern European roots. Home base for all the Smolletts these days is the Los Angeles area, and they still make a point of gathering often for meals. We spend a lot more time together and do a lot more food together than people would think, considering how busy we all are, says Jesse. And come the holidays, they throw down in the kitchen as a team. It starts with us divvying up the menu. We always start with a big old menu, and then it's like, who wants to make the potato salad, says Journey. I don't know how I became the default person for the potato salad. Because you make the best, says Jake, quick to supply the answer. Once you hit it, then everyone's like, oh no, you gotta make it, replies Journey. And then when you hit it, it's taken from you, revoked, says Jake, laughing. But putting the book or the cookbook together wasn't without challenges. For one thing, deciding which beloved family recipes to use was a debate. Then on a more practical level, replicating the recipes they have made thousands of times had never written down required another kind of effort. The siblings gathered for a 13-day intensive cooking, testing, and critiquing session to perfect the recipes. We have recipes in this book we made 10 times, you know, testing to make sure it tastes how we remember it tasting, says Jake. And we all live in LA, so the whole family would come through. We worked on 6 recipes a day, testing them all day. Quality and control. And the last word went to their mom. She would come over, have a taste, and be like, that ain't right. Do it again, says Jake. While the entire book was a labor of love, the section on New Orleans is the closest to their heart, says Jazz. The oyster po' boy, the gumbo, those are recipes that were really in high rotation growing up. Their mother was raised in the city, 7th Ward, exclaims Journey, and the food, music, and spirit of the city is very much a presence in their life. New Orleans is such a magical place, and to have roots that makes me feel really connected to my mom's family, her legacy, her lineage, and the ancestors. I have their magical realism dreams of what this place was and the people, the women in the family. And some of the recipes that are in this book looks like is, for example, spicy stewed okra with sausage and shrimp. And then another recipe that I see is 7th Ward gumbo. So this actually concludes the end of this article. And we've run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope that you've enjoyed it, and be sure to listen next time. I'm Nicole Hunter, reading for the Triangle Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for the blind and print impaired audience. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.